love seeing all these children go out. It surely is a blessing that we invest what God's blessed us with to be able to instill that into our children. It's a blessing to be able to do that. Well, we're here this morning, and this is what you got right here, okay? So you got me instead of Pastor Grant this morning. I always consider it an opportunity and privilege to be able to stand and to preach God's Word. Last week, you know, we're continuing in this series of Revelation about bringing heaven into our living room. So this is kind of the bringing heaven into our living room. As you can see, our picture is quite different this week than it was last week. There's this big green rainbow and some red and some white colors there. And then we've got some individuals that are bowing down here. So you make sure that you continue to watch that each week as we go through this series in Revelation. Last week, Pastor Grant did a wonderful job of speaking on the seven churches. And the one thing that really stuck out to me is I tried to place myself in one of these seven churches and just kind of go through. And he allowed us to take it and grade ourselves. We, you know, A, B, C, D, and F. And there's some areas I thought, man, I'm hitting pretty good right here. I got an A. And then in some areas, I'm like, man, I've failed. I've bombed this. I've got an F. So this week while we were talking and getting ready for this and everything, so this is my annual review, okay? And Pastor Grant, give me first service to get warmed up and get ready. And at the end of this, he's going to give me an A or an F. So it's up to you guys to respond so I get an A on this quiz that I'm taking here this morning. No, I consider it a blessing. I thank Pastor Grant for allowing me this opportunity to preach in the book of Revelation. We're going to ask if you would stand. As we go into the fourth chapter, the first verse here of Revelation, we're going to read one verse here and then we'll pray and then we'll get right into our message. But Revelation 4:1 says this. It says, "After these things I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after these things." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you blessed us with. We're thankful that your son Jesus came and gave his life for each and every one of us. And we understand this responsibility this morning of rightly dividing your word, and we accept that responsibility. And we ask you just to bless everyone that's here. Lord, we ask you just to deal with all of our hearts and show us the areas of our life that we need to get closer. And if there's someone here that's lost, that they might be saved this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, like we said, last week we talked about the seven churches, and John, as he continues to write here in the book of Revelation, we're going to go through the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. There's 11 verses in this chapter, but last week we've seen the seven churches. This week we're going to transition as John actually gets to take a look into the throne room of God, and that's what we're going to focus on this morning. And what we really want you the importance is about worship, and about our worship of God and how we see and how we view heaven. And when we stand before God, how do we worship him? So by the end of this service, you may change your view a little bit on how you've worshiped God in the past. And hopefully you'll look toward the scripture that God will show you how that we worship him in heaven. So John, it says that he gets to see into heaven. We don't know if he physically transported from here to there into heaven or if something else. All we do know is we get to see in the window of heaven, the throne room of God, and how that they were worshiping in the throne room of God. And a lot of times in Revelation, most of the time you mention the book of Revelation with anybody that's a Christian or a non-believer, and they say, well, I don't read much there. I don't go over that. I just don't understand it. Well, hopefully you'll be able to understand a little bit about how John is taking a look inside of heaven here. So he gets to look into the throne room of God and how we are to worship. And something that you're going to have to do this morning that I can't do for you, you've got to use your imagination just a little bit. Okay, when you picture God, you're going to have to use your imagination and you're going to have to realize how awesome God really is, how awesome he is, and how we should worship and praise his holy name. So it's up to you. A lot of the times, we give excuses to say, well, I wasn't able to worship because of this. But truly, if you're not able to worship, it's because of you. So open your heart and open your mind as God begins to speak to your heart. Revelation 4:2 says this. It Jesus says, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven and one sitting on the throne. As you understand, this wasn't just a sitting throne, but it was a standing throne. And significance that it just wasn't a standing throne, because this represents that God's rule is forever and ever, and we can't take that away. He is forever and ever. God has always been here. He's here right now, and he's always going to be here. So he is here forever and forever. So when you think of a throne, what do you think of? What does that symbolize to you? When you think of a throne, I think of power, authority, command. I think of someone, a being sitting there, and you listen to them, and you know any command that they give, you better listen to that. So when you picture God, he is in control of everything, and we need to reverence that he has control over our life no matter what we try to do or what we try to say. Went back in the days, you know, in some countries they still have a king. We don't have a king here. But a king's place wasn't a place that you just kind of walked into their palace and thought, man, that's a cool throne up there. I'm going to go sit on that. No, that was just for the king. And that's the same way with God's throne. It is only for God to sit on. He is in control. And we've got to realize that. We live in a generation that is about me, 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 me. But we've got to realize it's God's way and it's no other way. You've got to use your imagination here just a little bit this morning. Oftentimes, let me give you another representation. Oftentimes, guys, y'all have a recliner? You guys have a recliner? Most of you guys are like, yeah, I got a recliner, yeah. Well, but yeah, I see some hands over here, and the guys are going, yeah, recliner. So when you think of your recliner, and you think of, man, that's my throne. That's my throne. And you're sitting on your throne, and you're watching some football. Some of you guys are watching some baseball, and you're just clicking around. You grab your remote, your scepter there, and you grab your remote, and you begin to, it begins to bark out commands. Turn to that channel, turn to this channel, turn to that, and you feel like you're in control. You're just like, boom, see, whatever station I push, that's what it'll go to, because I'm in control. And then all of a sudden, you get brave, and you say, honey, get me something to eat right now. I love it when the women laugh. They did the first service too. And guess what, guys? And then you wake up, okay? And then you wake up, because we know that there's only one in control, and that is God. It doesn't matter how much you try to bark out orders and tell people that God is in control. And I'll tell you, we need to have him in control of our families and in our lives, because he is on the throne and he is worthy to be praised. So there's just one throne. It's God's throne in heaven. He is the ruler of all things, and he is the one that has ultimate authority of our life. So the first thing that we see here in heaven is we see God ruling and reigning. So when we picture this picture of heaven, we see God ruling and reigning. So as John looks into heaven, he sees God ruling and reigning over everything. You know, we live in a society today that's like, where's God at? Why are so many people being killed? You know, and nowadays everybody needs to be in a safe space. I gotta be in a safe space. I gotta be over here because God is nowhere to be found. I've gotta find my place where I can get. Well, I'm gonna tell you this morning, the only safe space that you can have is having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And anything the world says, I'm gonna tell you, it's a complete lie. But God is the only one that is in complete control of everything. You may try to manipulate and say and con people out of this, but the only truth there is the truth that God gives us in his word, because he is in control. And he has all authority, guess what, over you and over me and over this world and over every nation. Whatever he says, that's what will happen. And that's what we need to realize, because he's on the throne. And you know what's so amazing? Everybody's, oh, the world's going to end. And November the 8th was here, and we just didn't get what we wanted, and this, oh, it's going to end. Guess what? November the 9th came. God's still in control. He's still moving on. People still getting saved. They're getting baptized, and the world is still going around because he's in control. People, wake up. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. God is in control. Whatever the results he gives us, no matter if it's about our health, it's about our family, if it's about anything, God is in control. John now uses some imagery from the Old Testament about the tabernacle. It says, so the centerpiece, as we look into heaven, the centerpiece that we have here in heaven is God on his throne, and he worthy of being praised. So as you look at this picture, God on his throne, worthy to be praised. Revelation 4:3 says this. It says, and he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Right now, most of you say, well, that's enough revelation for me. I'm going to shut my book and go on, because what does that mean? What does that mean? So we see here, what you've got to recognize is these weren't just ordinary colors. It wasn't Crayola colors that you pull out and get your crayon and you look around. These were amazing, amazing colors. And what you don't realize is the first stone that it talks about here and the last stone, these were actually the first and the last stone that were in the chief priest's breastplate, okay? So in their breastplate, you had this first stone and this last stone. And what you got to realize is that represents that God is the beginning and God is the end. And everything in between is God's as well, because he is on his throne and he's worthy to be praised. The emerald color here, the rainbow, as you see, the emerald that represented the tribe of Judah. And we all know who came out of the tribe of Judah, correct? Jesus came out of the tribe of Judah. So when you see this green, you're thinking Jesus Christ, because he come out of the tribe of Judah. Here in the holiest of holiest, the high priest could only come in the presence of God in the tabernacle once a year. They could only come in that presence once a year. We see God in heaven, the beginning of the end, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, and the covenant of God, the covenant of the God, which is the rainbow that circles around him. So that is a covenant of God. We are a people, most people don't like to talk about covenants because they can't keep them very well. I know myself, I've tried to make covenants with things, and it wasn't no need, but because a couple days later, I had broke that covenant. Most people say, well, I won't get married nowadays, because they're afraid of that covenant that they have to make. There's a commitment and a covenant that God made with his people, and we recognize this because of what God is doing here. And when we think about this, where did the rainbow, when did we first recognize the rainbow? Recognize, that's right, when God actually judged the world, and he flooded the world and destroyed everything except for Noah and his family and all the beasts and the animals that were on there, okay? So that was God placing judgment on the world because of what the world had turned into and what they'd done. So he placed a bow in the sky. Why did he place that bow in the sky? He placed it there not so much for us to remember, but for him to remember the covenant. The word said it was for him to remember the covenant that God made with his people. So anytime that you see a rainbow, it ought to bring your mind back into the attention that is a covenant that God has made with us. And there's something that you need to realize, okay? When we talk about, when the mainstream media and everything talks about this so-called rainbow, well, it ain't what the mainstream media says it is. God come up with our rainbow first, and he is in control. It's God's rainbow. It's his covenant with God's people, and that's something that we need to remember. Don't get caught up in the naysay and what's going on in this world, because God has made a covenant with his people. Why? Because he is on the throne. He is in control of everything that's going on here in this world. So God radiates out in this amazing, powerful color. As we see the white represents purity. The red represents the crimson blood, because God gave his son Jesus for you and I, that we might have a way to get back to this glory. So that blood represents Jesus' blood, that which was the supreme sacrifice, the supreme lamb that was sacrificed for you and I, that we might have a way back into heaven. You know, you'll not get to heaven without knowing Jesus. You'll not get to experience heaven without knowing Jesus. You'll have to give your life to Jesus sometime here in this life in order to get back to him. And when we talk about John and what he saw here, I want to be there. I want to get there. That's where I want to go. I want to be bowing down before the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, because he is ultimately the one to be praised. In Revelation 4:4 here it says, around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. So John gets distracted from the throne and gets to actually look out and see these other 24 other thrones that they were smaller with elderly individuals there, and they were wearing white and golden crowns on their head. Okay, so some, after reading and studying this and talking with pastor and everything, a lot of times, some people say this represents the Old and New Testament coming together, the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles actually coming together. But after reading multiple things and looking at many commentaries and stuff, I actually think this represents something different here. I actually think it represents the 24 priests of the Aaronic priesthood that was established. You're saying, well, what in the world does that mean to me? Okay, it says, so we're coming before the throne. It says here in the book of Hebrews, it tells us how the tabernacle and the temple was just a foreshadowing. It was just a foreshadowing of what heaven was, okay? So when we think about in the Old Testament, the tabernacle and the temple, it was just a foreshadowing of what heaven was really going to be. And it says, here is God in the holies of holies. We see here the 24 priests in 1 Chronicles 24 that were set aside to represent the Levitical families that were constantly, and these 24 were constantly watching and guarding and ministering unto God. So you look here and you see these 24. They're constantly watching, guarding, ministering, and worshiping the one true God. So we have the 24 elders that are constantly ministering and worshiping here. The only God worthy to be praised is God on his throne. It doesn't matter what we say, what we do, what gods we try to put before him. He is the only one that ultimately we need to be worshiping. It says here in Revelation 4:5, it says, out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds of peals of thunder. When God speaks, there's thunder and lightning. When God begins to speak, there's thunder and lightning. Let's take it back to when Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments. The people down at the bottom, as in Old Testament tells us here, the people at the bottom of the mountain, they actually seen lightning and heard thunder, because when God speaks, there is lightning and thunder. When he speaks, there's power in his voice, because when he speaks and when he has spoke to me before, things begin to shake. You think, well, now my body, my heart begin to shake. There's things when God begins to speak to his people, things begin to shake. I don't know what your view of God is, and I don't know what this culture has painted this picture of God, but I'm going to tell you, he's not some old feeble guy with a cane sitting on his throne in heaven thinking, oh, I need help from this one and that. No, he is almighty and powerful. He is worthy to be praised. He is in charge of all creation, this world, and everything that you see before us. God is in control. When you come to God's house, are you truly worshiping the one true God, or is it just, man, this makes me feel good? That's why I'm doing it. Because we need to reverence that God is on the throne and he is worthy to be praised. When he speaks, things begin to shake. Revelation 4:5, it said, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which were the seven spirits of God. The only light that was there were these seven candlesticks, okay? So when you're looking into heaven, the only light that was there was these seven candlesticks that represented the seven spirits of God that ultimately represented the Holy Spirit. When we talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, it is crucial that when we begin to worship God, that we worship him. It says you must worship God in spirit and in truth. When you're standing before the Almighty God, so constantly they're bowing and ministering to God. The fire of God's there. They are constantly worshiping when they're in heaven. They're not playing Monopoly or Uno, okay? They are worshiping the one true God. So this picture that you have of heaven, yeah, we'll just be sitting around having a good time, fist bumping everybody. They are worshiping the authority of God. He's amazing, and he deserves to be worshiped and praised. It's interesting that when we think about the New Testament here, when you talk about the New Testament and go back, anytime that it referenced the Holy Spirit, it always says something about fire. You know, Jesus said, I'll baptize you in the fire and the Holy Ghost, okay? It always talks about fire, and it's crucial that we understand. I think a lot of us probably need to get a little closer to the fire. I think we need to get closer to God so we're able to say, hey, I feel that fire and it's stirring up my heart just a little bit. So we need to recognize that, because here in the New Testament, Jesus said that when I baptize in the fire and the Holy Spirit. And he told the disciples also, you wait right here and I'm going to send down and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. And it said that the tongues of fire come upon the disciples that were there. The tongues of fire, so they were able to speak and it touched people's heart because of the Holy Ghost. Revelation 4:6, it says, and before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal in the center, and around the throne four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. And you're like, what is going on here? In 2 Chronicles 4, it talks about when the temple was made, that there was a sea of glass that was called a molten sea that was before the sanctuary. There was a wash basin. And before these priests actually would come to enter into the holies of holies, they would wash themselves off. Okay, and they would cleanse themselves. And a lot of times I think that's a crucial part that we leave out of before we come in to worship God. We forget to go to God and say, God, please forgive me, and clean ourselves up. And then when the singing goes on and we're worshiping and trying to worship God, we're like, well, I didn't get much out of that, because all of a sudden our focus begins to look on, well, that singing's just not right. The lights are messed up. Maybe the sound is a little too loud. There's a little too much bass, or I just can't hear it just right. But what we really need to be doing is approaching God's throne, asking, saying, God, I want to be cleaned up so I can get into your spirit and be able to worship you that's up on high. We need to clean ourselves up. There's a lot of things that go on that we need to actually clean ourselves up. So God's on his throne in the holiest of holies. The spirit of fire is the Holy Spirit, and there's constantly surrounding him and worshiping the one true God. I'm glad that Jesus was that supreme sacrifice, that sacrificial lamb that give us the opportunity to be able to experience what John is talking about here. Revelation 4:6-8, it says, in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first creature was like a lion, the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had a face like a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. So when it talks about a lion here, it talks about the lion is actually the king of all the untamed animals. As the oxen, sometimes translated as a calf in the New Testament, this was the domestic animal that was actually used for sacrifices. So before Jesus came, they had to have a sacrifice. They sacrificed these calves to ask for forgiveness for their sin. But Jesus took that over, okay? And then also the flying, when you think of an eagle, I think of the eagle as being the in charge of all the birds, because the eagle is the king of birds, while man is a separate kind of being. So the one thing John is pointing out here, you say, well, I hear beasts and animals and this, what does it really mean? God is ultimately saying, and what John is trying to get across here, you and everything around you, including your animals, including the trees, including the rocks, everything he has created, and he deserves praise from everything that he's created. Because whether or not you and I praise his name, guess what? It says there in the scripture, it said that the trees would even clap their hands. And when they told the little kids to be quiet, guess what? He said, okay, you can tell them to be quiet, but guess what? Even the rocks will cry out. So it doesn't matter if they try to shut our mouth. Guess what? The rocks and his creation will still cry out. Why? Because he's worthy to be praised. He is on the throne. He is not coming off the throne. He is looking down over you and I this morning, and we're evaluating our life as saying, are we truly worthy to come before the Almighty? Are we truly worthy? Revelation 4:9-11 says this. It says, and when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy are you, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. God alone is worthy to be praised. There's a reason God was a jealous God in the Old Testament. When it talks about him being a jealous God, we hear that quoted quite often. God's a jealous God. There's a reason, because he doesn't share his glory with anyone. God is the only one that we need to be praising and worshiping. We don't need to be praising our jobs, our games that we have, our families, but we need to be ultimately praising the one true God. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. They said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Was and is to come. Sometimes I don't believe that we really grasp the concept of how powerful God really is. Why do I say that? Because sometimes I leave the house without praying. Sometimes I don't think that we grasp that God truly has control of every breath that we take. Sometimes I think that we're just kind of nonchalant and we think, it'll be all right, I'll pray later. And we forget how important and how powerful God truly is and how he ultimately has control over each and every one of us. Why do we get like that? Because we like to sit on our thrones. We ultimately like to sit on our throne. We ultimately like to be the boss. We like to say, no, my day is going to go this way because I'm in control. I'm the one that's in the control. I'm boss. God, you need to do this. Have you ever found yourself saying, I'll work it out. I'll take care of it. God doesn't need no business in this. I'll take care of it. And we find ourselves constantly trying to boss God around. Do you understand this morning that you were created by him for him? You were ultimately created by God to be used by God to glorify and praise him in everything that you do. When we look at our life, our lives that we live, can we ultimately say, I'm glorifying God in everything that I do. I glorify him in my family. I glorify him in my work. Or can we honestly look out and say, we are glorifying God in everything that we do. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. God's still on the throne. It doesn't matter if you and I agree or disagree. God is still on the throne. It doesn't matter if everything's going right or everything's going wrong in your life. God is still on the throne. And what you need to realize this morning is ultimately God is on his throne looking down right now at this service because you have made choices in your life that have been detrimental to you and the other people that are around you. But he's worthy to be praised. Let me give you this scenario. Okay? So say you get a little hungry. You call up Papa John's and say, man, I want a large extra, extra cheese pizza. Could you deliver it to my house? I say, yeah. And all of a sudden, 30 minutes later, you hear a knock or a ring on the doorbell. And there's the delivery person standing there, and you open the door, and there he stands with your cheese pizza in his hand out of the box. Cheese just gooing down on his arm, and he's just looking at it. There's two things that you're going to be doing. First thing you're going to be doing is saying, that dude or that girl is crazy. Why would they bring my pizza in his hand? And the second thing you're going to say is you're going to say, where's my box? All of a sudden, this 39-cent box become a little bit more valuable than what it did before he showed up there with your pizza right in his bare hand. This morning we sit here, and I'll guarantee you we can sit and we can talk and we can get around the knights around the round table here, and we can talk and talk about theology and the Bible and stuff like this, but they ain't none of us really truly feel worthy that we're even worthy to come before God. Let's be honest. I mean, does your life, everything in your life glorify God? Does everything that you put out there on social media glorify God? The way you talk to your kids or your wife or your husband or your family, does it glorify God? The way you talk about your church and you talk about people in your church, does it glorify God? Now, let me tell you why he's still worthy to be praised. Much like the box, what's on the inside is far more important than what's on the outside. What God has placed on the inside of our heart is far more important than what's on the outside. So what I'm thinking here this morning is, God, if what you put down on the inside is much better than what's on the outside, why isn't my outside coming to your throne and raising my hands and shouting and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty"? Because he truly is the only one that deserves to be worshiped and praised. Because even though the stuff that's on the outside, he loved us enough, Sean, to send his son. You know, Jesus hung between the heavens and the earth. And even though he hung between the heavens and the earth, and he knew that people would sit in the service and turn and ignore him and turn him away, you know what? He still died for you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, because all the junk that I've got going on in my life, he's still worthy to be praised because of his son and me able to get forgiveness for that. So this morning, as we have invitation and you raise your hands and you think, what am I supposed to do? Just come as you are. Bring all your junk. Bring all your problems, your worries, and come to the throne room as John was seeing into heaven and release everything. Say, "Well, I don't know Jesus." It'd be a good morning to get to know Jesus. "I don't feel worthy." Well, you should feel worthy now, because he still loves you. He still loves you. As we have invitation, we hadn't blessed these boxes this morning, and they go out of our church today to go bless children across this country, across the world. We're going to ask if some of you would come pray over those boxes. If God bids you to come for any other thing, come and pray. Pray over these boxes that God will share the gospel, that it would get out there to all nations, that they might be saved. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you've blessed us with. As we approach your throne, Lord, we know that there's a lot of stuff that's going on in all of our lives. And we ask you, Lord, to help us right now to get past that, to know that Jesus came to die for us, that we are forgiven, and that we would quit bringing stuff in the past back up, and that the devil would quit using it on us, Lord, that we can come to your throne room boldly this morning, cleaned up, worthy, and wanting to praise you. We thank you for every blessing in life. Lord, if there's those here this morning that doesn't know you, allow them to come down, Lord, Father, and admit, believe, and confess that you are the Lord God Almighty, that they too might have a relationship. God, deal with all of our hearts, and deal with the hearts of the children that these boxes will bless throughout this world. We ask these blessings and favors in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand, if you'll respond, and listen to God.